Tender Offers. This is Brock.
And this is John.
So what is a tender offer?
Well, remember in law school when somebody asked you that question and you know, there's this case, there's this Wellman test and there's eight factors and, oh, I can't remember what they are and I'm going to get a C in this class. And well, fortunately, when you're doing M&A, it typically isn't an issue. You'll know one when you see one. It basically involves making an offer to purchase shares directly to the company shareholders, typically done at a premium to market. This is how hostile deals were traditionally done, because what a tender offer allows you to do is avoid the board. They're typically the gatekeepers when it comes to a merger transaction, but in a pure tender, you can take your offer directly to your shareholders. But more commonly, tender offers are used as part of negotiated mergers. They can be made under the terms of a merger agreement that's negotiated and approved by the seller's board, and they're launched after a binding merger agreement has been signed up.
And, when I hear the word tender offer, I mean, it's such a weird term. I can't imagine. You do see them in the newspaper, though, but we'll perhaps get to that. So what type of circumstances typically lead to a tender offer being chosen as a deal structure?
Well, the biggest reason people like to use tenders in friendly deals is the speed to closing that you can get from them. If you do a one-step deal for a public company target, you could be tied up at the SEC for a fairly long time. If you had a registration statement, you've got to file that with the SEC. There's a comment process. You can't go effective until the SEC signs off on your responses. You don't have to have that formal sign-off from the SEC with a proxy statement, but as a practical matter, you have to wait 10 days after you file, and there's a comment process that customarily you're going to wait for the SEC's comments, and you're going to try and resolve those comments before you mail your proxy statement as well. So once you negotiate your deal and get your documents on file with the commission, you're still going to be tied up for some time. Even without any regulatory hiccups on Hart-Scott or other fronts, it's not at all unusual for a one-step merger to take between 60 and 90 days from signing until you can close it. Tender offers, on the other hand, those can theoretically be completed in a month.
Pretty amazing. So what types of regulatory filings are required?
Well, there's the disclosure that's required from both buyers and sellers. The buyer has to file a Form TO, is what the SEC calls it, and it attaches copies of its offer to purchase and all the ancillary documents that it puts together for that filing. The seller's board files what's called a Schedule 14D9, and that contains disclosures relating to the reasons behind its recommendation for the deal. Now, that seller's filing isn't due until 10 business days after the tender offer commences. And the reason for that is, remember, these rules were all designed sort of with contemplation of unsolicited tender offers. So they sort of contemplate that this may be in a hostile situation. So when somebody would launch a hostile deal, the rules would give the buyer 10 business days to talk to its financial advisors, its legal advisors, evaluate the transaction before the SEC says you got to come up with a recommendation on file. Now, in a negotiated deal, this gets filed simultaneously with the buyer's scheduled TO. And what makes these things different than one-step deals is you don't wait for the SEC. Once you make these filings, the tender offer rules require you to be accepting tenders while the tender is underway. So you launch your deal, you make your announcement, you will publish your newspaper advertisement, which people see in the Wall Street Journal all the time, and you start your process. And the SEC, these things go to the top of the pile at the SEC, so they're going to review them right away. It's not unusual to get comments within 10 days or so of your filing, it's done in real time as opposed to waiting for the SEC. The SEC is dealing with your time frame, which makes things go a lot faster. And importantly, I said that these can be done in a month. The reason for that is the statute, the rules say you only have to keep them open for 20 business days. So you can see that with the SEC commenting in real time and a statute and rules that say you can do this in 20 business days, that there's a potential to be a lot quicker if you're doing a cash deal.
And there's this archaic requirement that there's actually being advertisement placed in a print newspaper.
you've got to commence your offering, and there are all sorts of different ways you can commence. You can commence by mailing, et cetera, and that type of thing. But you want to make sure that you get your clock ticking, and whether or not you've adequately commenced your offering has been an issue in the past. So what people will often do, because it makes it very clear, is you will make some sort of a publication. You know, you'll commence by publication. So that's why people are putting those things in the Wall Street Journal, or sometimes you see them in the Times, or even for smaller deals you might see them in regional media publications. But that's why they have those things, is it's a way of commencing your tender offer and knowing for sure that you've got that 20 business day clock started.
And there's set form language that's really tough to understand in those things.
Yeah, they are among the densest things I laugh when I see them, that they really are sort of, they might as well be in Gothic type. They're such old-fashioned disclosure looking things, you know.
And so you've talked about a tender offer typically taking about a month to close. What determines whether a tender offer is successful?
Well, one thing I will say about it, it can take a month to close. Now, remember, the SEC is commenting, and sometimes they might require you to extend for some period of time if you make material changes in your disclosure. But a month is not a pipe dream. I mean, you can close these things 30 to 40 days after they start if things go smoothly. What determines whether it's successful? Well, ultimately, it's whether enough shareholders tender to allow you to do a short form merger. That's the end game here. What you don't want to do is go with your tender offer, have to accept tenders, and then end up having to go get your second step, your merger, approved by a shareholder vote, so you end up having to have a proxy statement done. So you basically get the pleasure of buying the company twice, and after you control it, depending on how you structured your deal, you may have to comply with going private rules, which isn't any fun. So you really want to have the ability to do a short-form merger. It used to be that in order to do that, you had to get at least 90% or more of the outstanding shares tendered. That's the magic number for short-form merger in most states. Now, people came up with something that you'll see references to this, a top-up option, where if you got close, companies could issue additional shares to put a bidder over the top and get to that 90% number. Those were challenged in court, and they were upheld, but the problem was the math rarely made that a practical solution. If you want to increase somebody's ownership by 1%. I think it was like 10%. You had to increase the float by. So you very quickly run into things like, gee, if I may have to get shareholder approval under stock exchange rules or something like that to issue the additional shares that I would need. So top up options weren't really, they were used, but they weren't always the most practical solution. Now what helped a lot is that Delaware changed statute and added Section 251H that basically said, look, if you have a tender offer that's part of a negotiated merger and you satisfy some conditions to make sure that everybody's taken care of, basically, in this deal and you're a public company, we'll let you do that second step merger if you get as little as a majority of the shares tendered. So that was a big innovation that has made this a much more practical solution for doing a transaction. But there are only a couple other states besides Delaware that let you do this, and 90% is still the requirement in most states for a short-form merger.
Great stuff. Thanks.
You're welcome.